irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, August 30th, and Rachel, we're almost in September.
I don't hear myself.
You don't hear yourself?
No.
Really? How about now?
Now I hear myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just a question of adjusting the headphones. That's
perfect.
All. We know how to fix things here.
Yes.
Yeah. So how are you doing this morning? You managing to stay cool in this heat?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I got AC.
You do, but I don't.
Again?
So there you go. Well, I told you they haven't fixed it yet. They keep coming back to fix it, and they keep getting it wrong. Wrong part, wrong this, wrong that. For those of you who don't know, the continuing saga is that I've been without air conditioning for 2.5 months. And these people are crazy. They make me wait all the time. I don't know what to do anymore. So today, supposedly, finally, the right part is there. So I'm crossing my fingers, you know. They did bring me a portable one, so one room is cool. But, you know, you try to sleep at night, man. It's hard. And it's so freaking hot, you know.
Yeah.
It really is.
The hottest, like, week.
Yeah, and it's only here in the valley. You go by the beach, it's 75 degrees, you know. What the hell are we doing here? Why do we even live in this godforsaken place, man? I don't
know.
Location. Yeah, that's true. So we have a special guest in the studio. She'll be joining us in just a moment. A friend of the show. She's actually returning, and a friend of mine, a new friend of mine. So we went to dinner with a couple friends and stuff, so it was really cool.
Oh, cool.
And we'll introduce her in just a moment. I just wanted to bring up a couple things here. Well, the storm, did you see how many, like, heroic stories come out of there?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You know? And the thing is, I've noticed this also, like, people in time of war, in time of disasters, things like this, that's when they get together, you know? And it's unfortunate that way, but maybe that's how we're wired, you know, to help each other when we really need help. But at other times, kill each other, you know?
Right, so. Except when it comes to, like, healthcare.
Right.
And things like that. We don't really care about that stuff. But, no, I'm collecting stuff to don't. I saw a post on Twitter, a comic put up that there's a studio in Studio City that's collecting goods all day tomorrow. So I'm going to bring some stuff over there. They're collecting, like, pillows and blankets and clothing and water and towels and diapers and toiletries. So I'm going to bring some
stuff. That would be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they're showing people even in the shelters, they're up to their waist in water.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
There's nowhere to go.
Yeah. Sad.
Wow. And they're saying it's not over yet.
Mm-mm.
The worst is not over yet. So 33 Texas counties are now under federal disaster declaration.
Yeah.
And They actually canceled the preseason Houston and Dallas game.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
They better.
Yeah, right? I mean, where the hell are they going to play anyway?
We'll see if Mike Pence votes for or against aid, federal aid for these people.
Really? They actually have to vote on it?
No, but Pence voted against Katrina aid, so.
Really?
Yeah.
What was his excuse? Do you remember?
He didn't want future generations like his children to be in debt.
Oh, okay. So we need to suffer in the present.
Yes.
Okay, well, we have a wonderful government there. I mean, you can't... we're a light unto the world and unto the nations, mm-hmm. so forth. But and now he's saying talking to North Korea is not the answer.
Who says that?
Trump. So...
Someone needs to remove him soon. I can't wait. The Mueller investigation is it's heating up. I mean, I'm sure he was grateful for the natural disaster media distraction.
Mm.
I watched a little bit of his speech, if you will, which wasn't even in Houston. It was in Corpus Christi, where he used that as a branding opportunity to sell hats that are now available on his website to go towards his campaign.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. Is that what he's doing?
So,
he needs that money?
He's still campaigning. And so I watched him. I watched him he's the worst. He didn't even hug anyone. He didn't go visit. And he didn't even mention the police officer that lost his life saving people.
Okay, well, at this point, we shouldn't be surprised by anything. You know, I mean,
pretty much. But it still needs to be talked about. It needs to be talked about.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that there was that. So, yeah, I think this is probably a blessing for him.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up this thing. This was an interesting story. I guess they're realizing that dads are older now than they used to be. In other words, men are having kids later in their lives.
Yeah.
So they're saying the average father now, the age increased from 27 to 30.
That
in the past several decades, you know.
Yeah.
So, because I think the men are getting older, the women are getting younger, right? Yeah. I mean, what's going on with these relationships, you know? I think it's always been like that, but, you know, what
I don't know.
Do?
I feel I don't know. It seems, I feel like there's a difference, like old people are going to be having kids later in this generation or less.
Right.
Because of, you know, economic reasons and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I mean, look, fathers who are 40 and older, those are like 9% of all fathers. I mean, that's a lot, you know? And then men after 50.
Well, also, that statistic doesn't surprise me. Men can be fathers at any age, whereas women, we've kind of, for most of us, we all have a biological clock. So
right.
If we wanted to have our own biological children, you know, we have a time frame, if you will.
Right, right. No, and they're saying that, but they're saying for men it's harder to get pregnant too because sperm count and all that stuff.
I imagine
but
it's
I
hard
hear,
for
yeah.
men to get pregnant because
meant,
it's never happened before.
I meant, you know, what I meant. I didn't want to say to get someone pregnant. It sounded kind of awkward. So I just said, you know. I mean, look, when a couple is pregnant, they say we're pregnant, right? When a woman is pregnant, they say we're pregnant. You know?
Some people do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So at any rate, and I'm not surprised. You know, I wouldn't mind a kid right now.
I would
but
never
I'm at the age of grandchildren already.
I would never have a kid in today's world.
No, come on, that's too dour a view, you know? I mean, come on.
I feel like if I was 22 saying that, but I'm 30 and I feel, I don't think I would ever have kids in today's world. I was talking about it with my mom this morning. I was like, you know, I'm so grateful that I didn't grow up with an iPhone in my hand and that, like, I, you know, was one of the last generations to, like, I went to my room and I read books.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
But like, are you saying that, like, the world now is a place where it's worse than ever? Is that what you're telling me? Because
I never said that. You put the words in my mouth.
I'm not putting words in your mouth. I'm trying to understand. So I'm putting it in my
here's
words.
Here's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm saying for me personally,
right.
at 30 years old, Rachel Wolfson, I do not feel that the environment is healthy or right for me to bring a kid.
I understand, but do you feel it was ever worse or better? I mean, do you think this is the worst now?
I think it would, if it was 20 years ago, maybe it would be, or even 30, maybe it would be different. Like if I was doing it when my parents were doing it, or even, you know, that would be different. But yeah, I think it's a little, I think also like with its competition with jobs, I mean, we're going to see a lot of jobs being replaced by robots. School is going to get more expensive. I don't know how people afford to have kids. I can't, right. I live paycheck to paycheck, so I don't know how at like.
But you're still young, Rachel. I mean, you're going to get to that point. You
it
know,
doesn't
you have a partner.
But I know, but like, I don't have a desire to bring a kid into today's world and having to explain to them Donald Trump and, you know, why we don't have health care and why gay people are still.
But
why
know,
we have white supremacists marching with tiki torches from fucking Home Depot in the streets. Like, right. I don't want to. I know that there was bad shit happening in the world before then, but like to me, at least when Obama was in office, like I felt like safe. I felt even with Clinton, even with Bush, I at least like had more confidence in the world,
right?
And in as America's place in the world, and I don't feel safe like enough to do something as serious as bringing a kid in the world.
Mm. Well, I respect that. At least you know that. Some people bring kids and they shouldn't.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of, and a lot of our, I think a lot of our generation gets caught up in that this is what we're supposed to do. Mm. But that doesn't necessarily work for our generation. I mean, we don't, I would, for me, if I had a kid right now, my parents would be helping. And that is not their responsibility. They didn't have their parents take care of me. My parents
worked. Well, parents always help, though.
No, I would never expect, not like that. I'm talking they would have to financially pay for the baby.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't ask that. But some people are comfortable with that.
Right.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's also going to happen more because my generation is they're going to be buying houses less. There's less opportunity.
Well, but you're making predictions about the future that you don't
know.
These
are real facts.
No, the facts now, but it's not going to happen 10 years from now. I mean, even Trump is not going to be around 10 years from now, so you're not going to have a kid because
Trump may not be around 10 years from now, but we will still be feeling the effects of him for years to come.
So because of that, you're not going to bring a kid.
Not just because of him, just because of the condition of the world that we're in.
Right, but we were in so many wars. I mean, the world is, I don't think the world has ever been better than it is.
I don't give a fuck about the wars. I'm talking like if it were up to him, I wouldn't have health care.
Right. What about like during the depression?
If it were up to him, you know how expensive it is for it would be for mothers to.
But he's just a blip. He's just a blip on the screen. But then again,
from a man who never has to experience pregnancy, motherhood, even going to the doctor. You know how expensive those checkups. Having a kid is expensive just before you even
have
a kid.
Right, right. Okay, but it's always been expensive to have a kid.
It's getting worse now, though.
Okay. So, I mean,
With the state that
I like to hear your view because you're in a younger generation, which maybe I'm not in touch with. I don't know.
If it were up to the people in power now, they would defund Planned Parenthood. They don't even want Planned Parenthood to exist. So even the place that I could go to get less expensive or affordable care, they want that to be eliminated.
Yeah. But I'm saying to you again, this is governments and administrations change all the time. So I don't know that I'd make decisions about the distant future based on what's happening now.
I mean,
but
then we have Betsy DeVos and the Department of Education. Like, where am I going to send my kids to school? Like, who is going to teach these kids? It's not going to be me.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to bring in our guest right now. I want to talk about escape rooms. Have you ever been to an escape room? Do you know what that is?
I do know what that is. I think that I had a joke that I wrote about it. I used to work for this corporate company, and like for around the holidays, they make you do these team bonding or whatever. It's like around the holidays. She was like, I have an idea. Like, instead of going out to dinner, she's like, why don't we do an escape room? And I was like, if I wanted to be trapped in a room full of strangers where I have to find clues to get out, I would have just gone to work on Monday.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? That is an escape room theme for me.
Right, right.
So.
I know, and you have to solve puzzles and shit. I mean, I never solve.
That's called work.
I'm never able to solve one puzzle on the video games. You think I'd be able to do this here? Yeah. I'd freak out if I can't get out of the room. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's
get claustrophobic.
Exactly.
But it doesn't sound appealing to me, so no escape rooms for me.
Mm-mm.
All right, folks, we're going to bring in our guest right now who's sitting here dying to talk, I know. The very beautiful Azina. Welcome to the show, Azina.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Here.
Thank you. You were here before what, like a year ago, would you say?
Yeah, about a year ago.
Yeah, and we met through Max.
Yes.
Max Tucci, who is a host here. And you guys have been friends for a while.
Yes.
And and you came on the station, what, 2 weeks ago, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And
with
Max,
because
he does a show remotely, right? From New York, from Colorado, from Florida.
And it's on LA Talk Radio?
Yeah, it's right here, but he does it remotely. So he was in town, and he did the show from here. So Azina was here, and a few of the friends were here. So that
cool.
was cool. So Azina, you do a lot of things. You're a singer. You're an inspiration figure. You write. You play the guitar. I mean, it's not often to see a woman playing like an electric guitar. You know what I'm saying? You don't see this a lot. Was guitar always a part of your life early on?
It was not. I always wanted to play guitar because my dad had this beautiful Gibson acoustic guitar when I was growing up, and he would not allow me to touch it.
Well,
so, of course, I wanted to play that instrument because I wasn't allowed.
It
was
forbidden.
It was totally forbidden. Like, he would lock it up. He would do all these weird things so that I couldn't touch the guitar because it was his baby.
Wow.
I thought I was his baby, but that guitar was it. You know, so, of course, I grew up wanting to play guitar. He kept saying, no, play piano. You're good with your piano. Guitar is a man's instrument. So, of course, I was going to own and operate and master the man's instrument.
Well. Love it.
So, did you ask for your own guitar and started
that
playing? I
did, and he said no.
Really?
Over and over and over again. Because I was a pianist and a singer, and he was like, no, stay in your own lane, you know?
Right.
I got the guitar, you got the piano, and we can make music together that way. But I was like, no, Dad. So it wasn't until I left home, and I went and put down some money for my own guitar at a music store, which they were sure it was for my boyfriend, but it was for me. Amazing.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I got a nice electric guitar early on. I was like 13 years old, and my father bought me the best in the store. It was a Gibson SG. You know, that's like what they play on, what's his name? I forget. From The Who, you know, the guitar player and stuff. A lot of people play that guitar.
Mm-hmm. Very
and,
famous
but,
guitar.
But on the... as opposed to your dad, I allowed my kids to play it, and I welcomed them to play it, and now they're both great guitar players, you know.
Are they both boys?
No, one is a girl,
right.
And she doesn't play as much, but my son is shreds like crazy,
oh,
you know.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
And I love to see that, you know, because he's able to play even better than I could, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, so let me ask you this. You were playing the piano. What was the attraction to the guitar? Was it because you wanted to sing? And you had something to accompany you with? Because with a piano, you can sing, but isn't it harder?
It is harder because you can't take it everywhere.
Oh, yeah, that's true, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, there are keyboards, but, you know, not until the last, I'd say, 10 years have they made the keyboards sound as good
sound
as the
piano.
Sound
like a piano, right.
But before that, you know, you just got your piano, and it's like going to people's house. Do you have a piano?
Yeah.
Okay, now is it in tune? Most of the time, it's not.
Oh, my God.
You know, so it's very difficult.
That's
You're
true.
Always looking for, you know, an instrument that you can actually use.
Right.
And guitar is portable. My dad took that thing everywhere, and I so wanted it. It just seemed so powerful, and I had to have it, and now I have about 24 guitars.
Oh, my God. 24 guitars,
wow.
My God.
Yes, two of which I designed myself.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
That's
cool.
Yeah.
I don't have 24 pairs of shoes. 24 guitars, wow.
I know, but
so
know,
do you play
women,
all of them, or is it just a collection after a while?
Well, I'm a woman, so they have to match the outfit.
Oh, I see. So you have one for each outfit.
For each outfit.
There you,
know?
You go. So that makes sense. Like, you have a lot of shoes. You can have
exactly,
a lot of guitars.
Exactly. I'm not going to play, you know, a black guitar if I'm wearing something that doesn't match it. Or my gold guitar. I'm not going to just play that with everything. You
yeah,
know?
Right.
But so I have the whole rainbow of colors of guitars.
How interesting.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you made a career out of this.
I have.
You
I
started
have.
Early on, though. What age did you pick up the piano?
Piano was three.
Wow. Really?
Yes, there are photos of me at 3 years old sitting on top of phone books. You remember those back in the day?
Yes.
They used to have these thick phone books, and my mom would stack them up, and then she'd put pillows on the side to kind of cradle them so that I wouldn't
so
fall.
You don't fall.
Yeah, and I'm sitting on the piano playing at three
How
years
cute.
Old. It's ridiculous.
Really?
That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah. And so I imagine you became quite good. I mean, starting at an early age and stuff.
Yes.
And do you still play the piano?
I still play the piano. I still do a lot of composition on piano. I compose all my music. So I compose on piano and guitar. But the piano always comes first.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah. I always wanted to play the piano. The closest I got was a friggin' accordion.
Accordion is
accordion.
Totally cool, especially
well,
with EDM music right the, now. It's totally hot.
In the 60s it was, but then it was bigger than I was,
I'm
you know?
Sure.
It was huge. And I'm like, so I learned to play chords and stuff,
yeah.
But it's not the same as a piano. But, so yeah, I was playing the accordion, and then I went to a singing competition, and I saw these people practicing outside with a guitar, and I said, wow, I need a guitar, you know, because
mm-hmm.
you can sing with it, mm-hmm. you know, I always love to sing and everything. So no, I get a guitar.
I didn't know that. We got to sing together.
Yeah, I know. Tell me that. I know.
All
no,
right,
I
we're
going
to make
sing.
It happen.
Yeah. I have actually a Hebrew song on YouTube that I posted
you do?
Once. But you won't understand any of it. But at least you can see what I sound like. You
oh,
know,
I
so
love it.
Maybe
it
I'll play
plays
it later.
On the radio in Israel?
No, no.
Oh,
I,
you made it.
No, I wrote it, yeah. If I had lived there, it probably would have, though.
You should just send it in.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
Well,
to JTV.
I've thought of it, but, yeah, you know. But at any rate, so it's cool. So and at what point did you start actually composing songs? Was that early on too?
Very early.
Really?
The first songs that I composed are ridiculous at 5 years old, but they actually aren't bad. Like
really?
It's so funny. You know, when you're a kid, you learn, you know, rudimentary chords
right.
and things like that. But you listen to the Beatles, and it's all rudimentary chords, you
right.
know? So when I listen back to the stuff I did as a kid, I'm like, that's kind of better than the stuff that I write now that's all complicated, you know, where I geek out.
Right.
But it's kind of cool to listen back to the things you wrote, you know, as a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old, you know? It's just been going
on forever.
It
really is cool, you know?
Yeah.
And then you go back and you go, wow, you know, I was
yeah.
talented. I wrote this.
Right?
Right.
And I've repurposed some of it.
That's awesome.
but I think being able to play early on is something that I've seen in people, and but it's almost like you're a prodigy, you know. I mean, you're born into it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I mean, how many kids can really play piano and compose at 5 or something? But it's also interesting that when you play an instrument, you have the drive that you want to write your own songs, right?
Absolutely, and yeah. that's why, you know, I'm so disappointed that they're taking music out of schools. I'm like so beyond upset
right.
because it's such a great way for kids to create, and it's a great way for them. I mean, music is math. I don't care, all the musicians out there, you want to fight me, but music is math.
That's why I was so bad at it.
So it helps them to do better in math. It helps with communication skills. I mean, there's a lot of wonderful attributes that music brings to a young child.
Right.
And it's just so important to, you know, not take that away from kids, you know. But I guess we need to start with healthcare first, get them healthcare, and then let's put the music back in the schools. But
yeah, right? Let's start with the important
thing. Or do both.
Or do both, right, right. So
either way, people suffer.
It's true. It's true. But music is a great thing. It's great for young kids. It was great for me growing through the teenage years where you have the teenage angst. And
kids need the arts.
Yes.
They need it.
Absolutely.
It makes you well-rounded, you know, I mean, and absolutely. But... but still, I leave it to the parents. If school is not going to give it to you, then you send your kid, you know, just like we did. You
true.
Know? We
true.
Had music class. I hated it, but I loved playing, you know,
yeah,
I didn't want to know the theory.
But if it comes from school, it's part of the curriculum. And yeah. it's like parents, a lot of parents don't have that extra funding laying around to
no,
send
No, but
their
you
kids.
Don't need funding. There's extracurricular, there's clubs, there's
That's what I'm
youth
saying. They
clubs
don't,
and
parents
stuff,
don't
you know?
Have the money to send their kids to.
No, but I'm saying you don't always have to because it's like youth clubs. They'll teach you for free.
Really?
No.
There are some, but there's in some areas there are not. I remember growing up, like for me, the reason I learned that I was even good at music was because they brought an audiologist into the schools in kindergarten, and they had you listen to the tones, and you rose your hand if you could match the tone.
Right.
And then they took all the kids who could do it off, and then we started, you know, then you were in the music class. But that's right. in elementary school. They don't do
start,
that anymore.
They do things like, I remember, like, growing up, they did things to try and figure out what people are good at and better at. That's mm-hmm. how they, like, based off your curriculum, you know, they tried to tailor it somehow. But yeah, they don't do stuff like that.
No.
There's none of that.
That doesn't exist anymore. And there are some clubs. You are absolutely right. There are clubs, but they're not in the underserved communities mm-hmm. where they need to be. They're usually in the more affluent right. communities.
Where they
that
don't
are,
need it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's the only thing with the music. You know, LAUSD, a lot of their schools do not have music, and there aren't a whole lot of clubs for the kids there. Mm. I do support an organization called Guitars Over Guns, and they're trying to spread across the U.S. and to help get music more in those underserved communities so that kids can learn music and have something else to do with their free time other than getting in trouble.
Right?
That's true. So you grew up, did you go to college?
I did.
Where did you go?
To the University of Michigan. I have my BBA, my MBA there. I did a year of law school before I escaped.
I switched my major to law for like a second. Yeah. And I was like, what have I done?
Right.
But she comes from a family of lawyers, you understand. She felt the pressure, you know?
Oh, yeah. I had the pressure, too. My mom gave me two choices, law or medicine.
Oh, my God.
It was
God.
Like the Matrix, you know? You got the blue pill or the red pill. Those were the two choices. But I failed miserably. I'm like, I cannot do this lawyer thing, you know? Right. So I escaped after 1 year.
Good for you. And so what did you plan to do with your life after college? Did you consciously think, I'm going to get into music? And
music has been all throughout my life. I've never stopped doing music. I was signed to my first record deal when I was 17. And that didn't work out so well. That's another show. But music's always happened. Even when I was going to school, getting my master's degree, you know, even when I was in law school, I was still doing music, still performing on the side. U of M had a choir. I still performed in the choir. As soon as I graduated from college, I released my first independent record. That blew up. It was very successful. Took me all around the world performing and promoting it. So music has never stopped.
Right.
You know, against my parents' wishes. It just never went away.
I know. It's like, I'm not going to get a real job. Yeah. This is my real job. You better get used to it.
I did have a real job in corporate America for a few years, and I was ready to slit my wrist. So I had to drop that.
Seriously, yeah. I did it for so, like, not for so long, but for, like, the first five or I've had so many office corporate jobs, and I'm just like, I'm so bad at all of them.
Right, yeah. If you don't fit, if you don't have the personality.
And then the last corporate job I had, the head of the department was like, you're like a circle trying to fit into a square.
Exactly.
I was like, oh my God, that's the nicest thing you've ever
said. Right.
Yeah, because he explained your dilemma, yeah.
Well, I had one boss say to me, she was like, you know, Izina, you're like a unicorn, and, you know, the rest of us are like sharks. And I was like, ooh. And she's like, sharks bite unicorns. And I'm like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's true, right? But she was right about that. Wow.
More like donkeys.
Right.
Yeah. Where did you grow up? Here in L.A.?
No, I grew up in Michigan.
Oh.
I was born in Flint, Michigan, where there's no clean water here in the United States. Even after 20 months, there's still no clean water there. I grew up in Grand Blanc, Michigan, which is not far from Flint, about 15 miles away. And then, of course, I went on to Ann Arbor to go to school and spend many, many years with my head in books.
Did you like school?
You know, I did not like the portion of... let me break it down. At the University of Michigan, it's a very large school. All of your classes are in auditoriums.
So you're just a number.
Right. You're a number. And when they called us, they would call us by the last four of our social.
Really?
Yeah.
And the teacher doesn't even know your name.
They have no idea. They don't know you exist.
Terrible. Terrible.
You're just there. You know, great education, but you're just there in an auditorium.
It is what you make of it. Yeah. That's why, like, those smaller schools are much more expensive, but,
Yeah,
you get a smaller class size.
Yeah,
teacher
more
knows
personal.
Your name.
Yeah, that's I have true. No friends from college. Well, that's not true. I have two friends from college.
Yeah.
Out of all the years I spent there, because you don't really connect.
Right.
You know, you're all like no.
Unless you're in like
you're
a sport or
right,
some sorority.
Exactly.
You know, you force yourself into
exactly.
some club.
Yeah, yeah, or a class that forces you to work together, you know, and things like that, like workshops and.
We had a few of those things, but I ended up doing all the work. I'll never forget my senior project for my MBA. And they're like, okay, here are your partners, and you guys need to do this project. And I never saw those people again until it was the day to present.
And they all got the A.
They all got the A, and I did all the work. And I'm like, so where have you been? Where have you been? They've been partying. They're hungover. They're doing their thing. And I'm like, oh, I am the nerd here.
Oh, well.
But, you know, it was an experience.
Yeah.
College is what it is, and I got out of there as soon as I could.
Yeah, and then where did you go then? Did you move here or
no? From there, I've moved all around the country.
Yeah, obviously.
I moved from
yeah.
Chicago. Yeah. I went from Chicago to New York City. From New York City, I moved to Kerala, India. From Kerala, India, I moved to Japan for a little while, and then I came to L.A.
I see. Wow. So what were you doing in Asia? Traveling? Working? What were you doing?
Well, I'm very interested in natural medicine, and so I went to Kerala, India to study Ayurvedic medicine.
Right.
So I was there for 2 years studying Ayurvedic medicine.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really amazing. And in Japan, I was just
Do you meditate?
I do, every day. Yeah. Every day.
And she's got songs here for meditation and yoga and stuff we're going to play in just a minute.
Absolutely.
But so you must have learned a lot while you were there, right?
Absolutely. You know, when I was in India, the first thing I wanted to learn was the sitar. So I learned to play sitar, and which you'll see if you go to my website, you'll see me playing sitar. Because I wanted to learn those native instruments, and I loved watching them make them. A sitar is made out of pumpkins.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I have pictures of the guy making this instrument from a pumpkin. I'm like, how native can you get?
Right?
You
know? Close to the earth.
Yeah, yeah. So I was very fascinated. I'm like, I must not only own one, I must know how to play it. So I learned to play sitar, and I also wanted to learn natural medicine, because here in this country, I'm not anti-medicine, but I feel like, you know, we're real easy
here,
on getting...
Here, take a pill.
Yes, yes. And I know that there has to be an other way, because...
We weren't doing this year. This wasn't happening. Like, this is a new phenomenon,
exactly.
And all these disorders. I mean, not to say that mental illness or, you know, real diseases don't need medicine, but there was a time where this wasn't happening.
Exactly.
We had to evolve, you know, without these medications. I agree with you. I was on a lot of medication for... antidepressants and anti-anxiety for a lot of my life, and I was just like, enough. I came off of it. I was like, I can't do this. This is not healthy. So yeah, I just consume cannabis and exercise.
There you go.
Well, for me, you know, I have my grandmother is 105 years old, and she would only eat things that she grew in her garden, and she'd always make these herbs and tinctures and things, and I never really learned how to make all of them. And I thought, where is there a culture where they still do this? And it's commonplace, and that's India. Mm-hmm. So that was my inspiration for going there.
I feel like they also live, like, people of it, they live so long.
Oh, yeah.
They live long lives.
Oh, for sure, for sure. It's very different lifestyle, way of living. And so just learning all the natural things of how to take care of yourself and... You know, that was really important to me, because if I'm going to live long like my grandma, I need to know how to do
that. What are some things that you learned over?
Wow, that's a long time to live.
Yeah, it's a long time. And she's still, you know, talking, walking. She's very active. She's not, you know, just slumped over. She has an opinion.
Really?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I hope my mom doesn't last till 105. You know, I don't need her around that long. I'm kidding.
No, she's
at this point, she's miserable with her life. What can I say? You know, we try to keep her happy and everything. But, you know, when you don't have something that interests you, when you don't have something to
you don't have a passion.
To keep you busy, right?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Then it's hopeless, you know?
That's true.
But, and my dad's the same way. So they just sit, watch TV all day and stuff. But I'm like, what, are you going to wait for your death? You know, what is this?
Right.
You know, there's people your age, you know, they're doing everything and they're all over the place and active and all that. But look, people get sick also. But
absolutely.
You're here to say that if we eat healthy and stuff, we have a chance of living longer. Makes sense, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a different way of life, but we are so addicted to convenience.
Right. So you say that you could find like cures, or not cures, but let's say things for ailments, medicine for just about any condition.
Absolutely.
So
in India, they believe they can cure anything with herbs and roots.
Really?
You know, that they put together.
Does it work though?
You know, I think a lot of it works, but here's the thing, like, we're used to instant.
Right.
Everything instant.
Our bodies are conditioned to accept, like, what we've probably been, you know, feeding ourselves and stuff like that. I feel like, I don't know. It's just, if you don't grow up on it, then your body probably isn't adapted to this. You know, you have to detox yourself from
exactly.
the way
detox
that you
were. Detox is the big, big word. It's the detoxing. And, you know, Ayurvedic medicine works. It does take longer. Herbs and roots and teas, they all work, but it takes much, much longer. And, you know, we're not willing to wait, you know, a lot of times. Like, my mom has an issue with a little bit of arthritis, and I sent her a tea, and I said, well, drink this tea, you know, and she's like, I don't feel anything. And I said, well, you're going to have to drink it for about 3 to 4 months before it goes away, but it'll go away for good, you know. But she is like, oh, I just want the pill, you know, because it's instant, and she doesn't feel that pain of the arthritis anymore. And they don't always work in conjunction with the medication, you know, the pills that you take. So it's just a different way of viewing healing and you just have to be prepared for it. But if you're an instant gratification type person, you might not dig it because, right, you know, you got to wait a little while.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah,
for these chronic conditions, they're not going to go away overnight, but they will go away over time.
Oh.
You know, and all of them have different times. Not everything is going to take, you know, 4 months. But in her case with her arthritis, you know, when I looked in the books, it said about 4 months to get rid of it for good.
Oh.
You know, so it is what it is.
Very interesting. So let's get a little bit into your music so we don't run out of time with that.
Yes.
No, we still have plenty of time, okay, but there's a lot to cover and stuff still. You're a fascinating woman. So, okay, so you started writing some music, and I see there's a lot of, like, the album Grace, very influenced by your experience in India, would you say?
I would say.
It's all, like, Indian titles, right, for the songs?
It is. They're mostly Sikh titles, and what these are Sikh chants. So if you've ever gone to a Kundalini yoga class, these are the chants and the songs that are used in the Kundalini yoga practice or at a Sikh temple. But these are my interpretation. So they're a little funkier and a little more groovy than what you hear.
I love that.
Really? Very interesting.
In a Kundalini class. But yes, these are all different chants for healing, for inspiration, for enlightenment, you know, within the soul. So I just wanted to put out a collection of these songs with just kind of my interpretation. So Grace is the new album. It'll be out September 9th. You can get it wherever you get music. And we're going to debut it here today.
Yeah,
on Sam
good.
In the Morning.
So this is Pavan Guru, is that
Pavan
what it is?
Pavan Guru, yes.
Okay, let's hear what that is about.
Pavan, 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 Pavan. Pavan, 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 Pavan. Pavan, 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 Pavan. Pavan Guru, ah, hey Guru. Pavan, 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 Pavan. Pavan, 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 Pavan. Pavan, 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 Pavan. Pavan Guru, ah, hey Guru. Pavan, 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 Pavan. Pavan, 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 Pavan. Pavan, 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 Pavan. Pavan Guru, ah, hey Guru. Pavan, 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 Pavan. Pavan, 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 Pavan.
Yeah, it is very funky, you know.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really cool, you know, because you took something that's like unusual and, you know, I mean, it's just, it repeats itself, but it's like a chant.
It is.
Right?
All of the songs on the album are chants. And when you take a Kundalini yoga class, there's always a section where you're chanting. And so you usually chant from anywhere from 3 to 11 minutes. So all of these songs are 3-minute chants, with the exception of the sun salutation, which we may hear later, which will take you through the full sun salutation 4 times, which gets that cardio going in a yoga class. So
yeah,
these are very complimentary to use, you know, when you're working out, if you're running, if you're, you know, whatever type of exercise you do. It doesn't have to be yoga. But when you get into the rhythm and you're just hearing the same thing repeating over and over again, you know, and it's all positivity. Pavan Guru, Wahe Guru, is saying, you know, I honor all, and all honors me back. Thank God. You know, so that's the translation of the Pavan Guru. And so you're just saying that over and over again. You know, you're just wanting to be your highest incarnation at all times, which I think in this day and age we really need to aspire a little bit more, you know, with the things going on in the world. But
very cool.
Thank
very
you.
Cool stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah, it can do anything to this music.
Exactly.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's really funny because I've sent it to a few musician friends who aren't necessarily Kundalini yogis. And one guy said to me, yeah, I can like totally get high to this. And
yeah.
I was like,
totally.
Really? That was the first thing. He was like, dude, I could just have a big bowl right here and I could just
exactly.
totally get into the zone.
I like, this is what I have on before, like, when my boyfriend comes over. Yeah, you know what I mean? We smoke a bowl, do some yoga. Hey, there you go. That's what we'll call it.
Right.
That's awesome. So you really, I mean, you you write a lot of different kinds of music, right?
I do.
So
I do.
We'll play your other like vibe up that looks pretty cool.
Oh,
so
yeah, this rock. That's the rock for you.
That's a rock. So you're able to dabble in different genres and everything.
Absolutely.
Do you have a band currently?
I do. I do have a band, a traveling band that travels with me. Basically, we just gear up right before we head out on tour.
Really?
But in the studio, this is me and a couple producers that I worked with.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And then you put all the instruments over each
Absolutely.
Other.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's cool, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing like being in a recording studio, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
It's so cool, you know, especially if you're the singer, all the attention is on you, you know.
It can be fun, but, you know, for me, it's my office.
Yeah, right?
I go in there, and I'm like, okay, what guitars
do I
need? Let's get everything mic'd up, and let's go.
Yeah.
You know.
So. Very nice. But it's a lifestyle you wanted, and you got what you want. You
I
know?
Don't know about the studio. I don't know if the studio is the lifestyle I want.
Oh, well, but it's part
it's,
of
it's,
it.
It is. It's part of it. You know,
right?
Every job has those dirty parts, and I think the studio is one of those dirty parts.
Well, because it's your office.
Yeah.
So you prefer to perform, right?
I prefer
in front
performing.
Of an audience.
I definitely
stuff.
Prefer performing. Especially, I love this kind of music because you're chanting and everybody's chanting together. So it's that collective energy, and you're raising the collective energy in the room. And I love that because you can just get high off of your own voice. You don't need, you know, any drugs or any kind of stimulants. You can just chant and you go to this whole other
really?
Place.
That's very interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. Because I think I'd probably get bored of the repetitiveness of it all.
Yoga.
Of, you know, but you're saying it actually does something
to
you.
Oh, yeah. It takes you out of your mind because here's the thing. The reason it's so successful is because you don't always know what the words are. And if you do know what the words mean, you got to think about it, right? So you're out. You're just saying the same thing over and over again. And it's taking you deeper and deeper and deeper to this other place where you're out of your mind. So it's another form of like meditation, you know.
Because
some people say, oh, I can't meditate. And I said, oh, if you can't meditate, then chant mantra.
Right.
You know, and that's what this is.
It gets your mind focused on one thing.
Absolutely.
Wow, very interesting. So I'm just... out of this album, I'm curious to hear another one just so we can get an idea of the genre itself. Which one? Did you say number 7 you
Yeah,
want?
Let's sun play the salutation? Sun Salutation because most people, if you practice yoga at all, you know what the Sun Salutation is. It's the first thing you learn when you take yoga. So,
really?
Yes.
Okay, let's listen to that then.
Hands in Anjali Mudra. Focus on the inner sun in your heart, the light of consciousness, without which nothing would exist. Tadasana, Urva, Hatasana, Uttanasana, Ardha, Uttanasana, High Lunge, Adha Mukha, Savasana, Plank Pose. Move your head to the left, to the right, shake your head yes, shake your head no. Chaturanga, Dandasana, Urva Mukha, Savasana, Ardha Mukha, Savasana. Jump your hands through your feet, let's repeat. Tadasana, Urva, Hatasana, Uttanasana.
Wow, this is like a very interesting genre, you know what I'm saying?
I never quite heard something like this. You make me want to go do yoga.
Oh yeah, let's do it. We got plenty of room out here.
That's so cool. It's like Destiny's Child, in the you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
In the yoga scene. But I never thought I would hear it like this,
In Hindu or something.
No, it's
you know,
so
like,
cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So this is, the language is what?
This is Gurmukhi.
Gurmukhi?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Who did you learn that from?
I learned some in India. I learned some in yoga teacher training. Some just going to Hindu temples, Sikh temples. You just learn it, you know.
Wow.
The more you're in that world, you just kind of learn it.
It's funny. You're attracted to this stuff, you know. Maybe in a previous life you were a yogi or something, you know.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Okay. Well, so you decided to do this, and now we're going to play a rock song. How did this one come about?
Oh, Vibe Up. That track is like guitars on steroids. And it was just an opportunity for myself and a few other guitarists to just get together and wail. And so you'll hear it, and it's, again, it's repetitive. It's a chant again, but this is a rockin' chant, because in the morning, for me, I wanted something to wake up to, because you wake up in the morning, you're a little sleepy, it's like, whatever. Right? And I'm like, okay, I need to go running, and I need something to get me, you know, in the mood to go running. So I wrote Vibe Up very personally for me to just inspire me to get up in the morning, but now it's inspiring other people. And it's very loud, and it's kind of like your alarm clock, like, whoa, okay, really? Let's go.
I somehow don't know how to expect what to expect from a rock song from you, you know?
Right, I know.
Because you don't look like a rock singer. You
everyone
know what I'm
always
saying?
Says that, and then they come to my show and they're like, oh wow, you really know how to play that thing. I'm like,
exactly. Yeah, well, very cool. All right, so we're talking to Zena, by the way, if you're just joining us, singer, writer, teacher, everything, right? Pretty much. And so here's Vibe Up, also a chant with the rock mix to it. Let's see what it's about. Are you playing the solo on this one?
It's not just me. It's four different guitarists.
Four different guitarists.
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
Whatever's on your mind, let it go. If love is on your heart, let it show. Anything you need will reveal. Whisk out on your life if you dare.
See, that's my kind of music,
yeah.
Man. I listen to this all day, you know.
Awesome.
It's a very cool song, you know, and it's got a catch to it. You know?
It's all about running. I was like, okay, let's run. Let's get this.
This is. I would be on the elliptical with this,
right?
For sure. Yeah.
Just don't care. Move your feet to the beat of the drum. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Well, this is definitely my song.
I also
everybody
like
go
picture
it
in a movie, you know, like in the like in a sequence in a movie, you know, like a movie or something, you know. Like
yeah, for sure. Cool. Well, you make really cool music, Azina.
Thank you.
You're very inspiring, and it sounds great. Tell people how they can find you.
You can find me at ezina.com. That's E as in Edward, Z as in Zebra, I as in Igloo, N as in Nancy, A as in Apple.com. And you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Azina. And if all of you Instagrammers out there, I'm on Azina TV. So Instagram is Azina TV, but everywhere else in the world, at Azina.
Right. So somebody already took Azina on Instagram for you?
They took Azina. And here's the thing. They're not even using it.
Right.
And I had my lawyer. I'm like, okay, someone's like infringing upon my copyright. Like, but they can't even find them.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining at some point we will be at Azina on Instagram once we can find the person that has hijacked my name.
but I mean, you can't really have a copyright on your own name, can you? I mean,
yeah, my name's patented, trademarked, all of the above. Oh yeah.
But what if there's another Azina? Somebody names their kid Azina.
Too late.
They can
name their kid Azina, but I don't think they can profit off of it.
They can't profit off of the name without paying me.
Very interesting. Wow.
But the person's not even using it. So if you're listening, email me.
Mm-hmm. She has a proposition for you.
I have a proposition for you.
Possibly.
Wow. So do you spend substantial time on social media? I mean, is it very important?
I am on social media. I'm not on there as much as I'd like to be, but...
Nobody is, you know? It's too time-consuming.
It's very time-consuming, and I'm a rabbit creator. I'm always creating, and there's always books and music and CDs and, you know, videos and movies. I'm just all over the place, so I'm not on social media a lot, but I do try to share, like, everything that I'm doing. Well, that's not true. The personal stuff is not on there. But I do try to share like what's happening with all my projects and everything as much as possible.
And quickly, we have just a minute left, but you also have a book, Grow Your Star, right?
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, traveling all around the world, people always ask me, how do I do what I do? And I felt the best way to share that was to document it in a book. Because so many people have all this talent that's hidden inside and they don't share it because they think they need to be at some certain level. And Grow Your Star is just me saying, you know, shine a light on what you do because everybody's a star.
Right.
You know, you're a star at something. You may not be a star singer, but maybe you're a star writer. Maybe you're a star dancer. Maybe you're a star athlete. Whatever it is you do, shine a light on that because we all have star power.
That's true.
It's not just given to the few. But a lot of people don't have, someone in their corner encouraging them to go out and do it.
Right.
So I'm that cheerleader saying, go out there and do it. And if I can help you in any way, you know, connect. Because I do like helping other people get their work out into the world.
There you go. You can't beat that, folks. Izina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
You're
awesome.
Thank you.
And we thank Colette for sitting here and not saying a word. We tried to convince her, but
no luck. Great. She was taking photos and stuff.
She is the most amazing partner. And I just have to say, you know, no artist does anything alone. Everybody has to have a team. And I have an amazing teammate in Colette who's always here for me, keeping my schedule together, making sure I arrive on time to all my events.
I need a Colette.
You're very fortunate.
I am very blessed
a good
and
partner
grateful.
Like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So everybody, check out Izina.com. You can see her with her guitars, sequin guitars, any kind of guitar you can think of. And this is amazing. Now, is the picture left-handed because it is or because you are left-handed?
I am a left-handed guitarist.
You're a left-handed guitarist.
I'm left-handed. Yeah. But if I played the guitar, it would be left-handed.
Left-handed, yeah. Right, like Paul McCartney.
They tried to make me a right-handed growing up. I'm ambidextrous because in school they try to force you to be a right-handed person.
Right, they do, right?
But I'm pretty ambidextrous. Yeah. I'm useless with the right-handed guitar. I couldn't make a sound come out, not a single note.
Wow.
And when I got the left-handed guitar, like immediately I was able to play it.
There you go. That's the way it needs to be played.
Yeah.
Izina, thank you so much again.
Thank you, Sam.
All the best to you. Everybody,
Rachel.
Get her music. Get her book. It's awesome. Rachel, thank you.
Of course.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.